the name of God, the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom stands our eternal life and whose service is perfect freedom. Amen. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In trying to explain this story to our youngest members in this week's children's video, hoping to get them to understand just what Jesus' authority might have felt and looked like to those around him, I asked the kids to imagine that they were on their front lawn with their mom or dad, who was teaching them how to throw a football, how to take their elbow back, how to make sure the ball rolls off the tips of their fingers. And then I said, now imagine that Tom Brady walks into your front yard. Here, give me the ball. This is how you throw a football. Well, in the world of football, Tom Brady has authority, at least to Patriots fans. Jesus' authority, I went on to say, extends far beyond football to everything. Now, I won't preach to you my children's homily, but as we here this morning look more deeply and more grown-uply at the text and its meaning, I do want you to keep in your mind and in your body that childlike wow, that holy moly, who is this guy? He speaks with authority. It's interesting that the word authority is set against scribes. Jesus taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. We hear clearly in the word authority the word author, someone who writes something into existence, someone who creates. And we know Jesus as the author of our salvation. And while scribes in this passage refers to teachers, the learned of that community at the synagogue, the word holds for us the idea of taking down the thoughts of another. Scribes don't create, they copy, they transcribe, they interpret. They do what I'm trying to do this morning. So we have, in a very real sense, a meeting here of the creator and the created, the light and its reflection, the ground zero and everything else. Now, just to go all non-children's homily on you, I want to dig a little deeper into that linguistic hole. Because the word which our Bible translates as authority here in this passage from Mark is the Greek word ekousia. And that same Greek word, ekousia, appears in today's passage from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Now, if all of you were here sitting in your pews like you're supposed to be, I could ask you to look at your passage and guess which word that is. But I will tell you that there, in our Revised Standard Version that we heard read this morning, that Greek word, ekousia, which has just been authority for Jesus, is here translated liberty. Take care that this liberty of yours does not become a stumbling block to the weak. In the New International Version, it's translated as exercise of your rights. Be careful that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And in the Message Bible, it's translated freedom. Paul there admonishes his listeners not to use your freedom carelessly in a way that leads a fellow believer to be thrown off track. So authority is intertwined with liberty, rights, freedom. What do we do with this very multivalent word this morning? We cannot, as mortal beings in a broken world, always author our situations. That is an ecousia, an authority that belongs to God alone. But we can author our responses, our attitudes, our outlooks. We are free, we have ecousia, to choose the good, to orient towards hope, to submit to God's authority. And we are enjoined to use that liberty, to use our ecousia in the service and for the good of others. So while God's ecousia, and I pray I'm pronouncing my Greek properly, is the final word, our lesser ecousia offers us ecousia to bring ecousia to all. Crazy. Our authority gives us liberty to bring freedom to all. It reminds me, and this is really for Silas, it reminds me of a funny exchange of a television show that we've been watching recently, Ted Lasso, entirely winning, very joyful, about an American football coach who's hired to coach a British soccer team. Lasso's having trouble getting down the British lingo and says to his co-coach, his colleague, "So, if I were to get fired from my job where I'm putting cleats in the trunk of my car," and his colleague says, "Yep, you get the boot for putting boots in the boot." That's what we have here. Ecousia, 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 right? We have the ecousia to use our ecousia to bring ecousia to others. We have our authority, gives us our liberty to bring freedom to all. So how do we do that? Well, after the events of 9/11, for example, we understood that we had to give up a bit of our freedom to ensure public safety. And so we learned to take off our shoes and our belts, to place our laptops in a separate bin as we travel through airports. We grumble a bit, we apply for TSA pre-check, but we accede to this call on our liberty because it protects the community. And likewise, during this COVID pandemic, we have been similarly asked to forego individual liberties, freedoms, authorities in the name of public safety. We wear masks, we maintain distance, we eat outside, we take our schools, our meetings, and even our church services online. We grumble a bit, I certainly do, but we do it because it protects our community. In reading some commentaries on today's passage, Paul's passage, his letter to the Corinthians, trying to really understand just what was happening in that community at the time, I found a line by Luther Seminary professor Arlen Hultgren that I really liked. Hultgren said that to relinquish one's freedom is not to lose it. It is one way of using it. I think that's a helpful reframe and a good question to ask ourselves. How are we using our freedoms and our authority? Are we using it for the betterment and the building up of our communities? Paul begins his exhortation by telling his readers that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The knowledge Paul refers to isn't your basic 2 plus 2 equals 4 kind of knowledge. Paul means the kind of knowledge that one wields like a weapon or lords over another. Knowledge that is really in service only to the knower and to no one else. That kind of knowledge simply puffs up. The issue in today's story is this, that meat once sacrificed to pagan idols would later be sold in the marketplaces. Could a believer, a follower of Jesus, eat it? For some, and Paul would be included among these, because they had knowledge that there was only one God, eating this meat was a matter of indifference. They could or they could not. It was just meat. But out of love, out of care for those not yet there in their belief, in order not to confuse them or send mixed signals, in order not to be a stumbling block, Paul suggested believers should abstain. They should use their ekousia to protect others, to build up, not trip up. Here at St. Luke's, in this church beside the sound, the quote from David Anderson's parish hymn, we want to be one for another, not stumbling blocks, but building blocks. Building blocks that we might all of us, and individually and collectively, become a living temple for our God. A place and a people who use our freedoms, our authority, our knowledge, our love for the building up of one another. On this annual meeting Sunday, when we gather to thank our outgoing vestry members, Judy Barnett, Jim Bragg, Callie Hulick, and our indomitable senior warden, Mark Campbell, Mark, who has held us together like true mortar across many anxious seasons, not just COVID, on this Sunday, we celebrate the ways we have been that people and that place, a church that knows how to use these things. Because we know that we are a people under God's authority, under Christ's banner, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that knowledge invites us into a peace, into the peace of God, which passes all understanding, into the joy of the Lord that is our strength, and into a hope that does not disappoint. I hope you will join us on Zoom immediately following this service at our annual meeting, where we'll continue to welcome new members, welcome a new senior warden, and consider the ways that we can keep building. Amen.